City Church. My name is Tanner Collins, and this is City Church Together for Tuesday, July 6th. Obviously, I am not Jacob Michael. I'll be filling in for him for the time being, since my man just had a baby! It's time to celebrate! Pew, 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 pew! Speaking of celebrations, we are starting out our Celebration Stories series, which is in celebration of City Church's 10th anniversary, and we're just going to be walking through stories of its people and triumph and victory and just moments of joy that they've experienced since being a part of this church and its story. Today we have the McDaniels, Matthew and Kirsten, who are dear to this church not only for helping plant the church, but also serving its people in multiple capacities and currently serving in the kids ministry. So let's begin. How are you guys?
Good.
very excited to have you. I was really curious to hear about planting the church, what goes into that and that whole process. Tell me about your experience with planting City Church and what hurdles that you had to jump in order to just be a part of the church plant.
So we were living in Virginia in 2011, when we heard about City Church through a series of events that included going to the summit with Matthew's mom and hearing about the vision meeting with Jeremy and Trevor. And my parents had moved to Spring Hill from Virginia at the end of 2010 for a job for my dad. And so it was kind of on our radar because we thought maybe they could go to City Church, but we didn't really know how far Murfreesboro was from Spring Hill at that time. So we went to the vision meeting in the middle of May in 2011. And in the middle of the meeting, as Trevor was explaining about his vision for Murfreesboro and especially reaching college students, Matthew and I just kind of looked at each other and we were like, I think that we're supposed to go. And we hadn't really thought about church planting, but we were kind of in a position where Matthew was done with grad school. We actually had been part of like a smaller house church in Virginia that had kind of folded because our pastor had moved. And we really felt like we were in a position where we could go anywhere and that God had put us in the path of City Church for some reason, so that we should try to go.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Part of the story that I always like telling is that, so the vision meeting happened because I was visiting Summit. My mom is in North Carolina, mm-hmm. and she's a member of the Summit Church. And I'm from Durham, even though I was not a Christian growing up. So like barely even knew the Summit existed at the time. Wow. So yeah, it's a kind of a round trip how that all happened. But she ended up there because I knew about J.D. Greer and how the Summit did church planting. And so that was sort of in my wheelhouse. So I had a little bit of an interest in being a part of church planting because, as Kirsten said, the house church that we were in, it was, I guess, kind of in the same theological community as like X29 and that kind of thing. So I was already kind of interested in that stuff. So I was visiting with her on Mother's Day, and the video for Trevor's kind of pitch for the upcoming vision meeting was there. And that's where I was like, oh, Tennessee. And like she said, like, oh, yeah, well, my in-laws are there. Maybe it could be for them, right? Mm-hmm. And we were going to be there anyway the week of the weekend of the vision meeting. So we were just like, okay, we can go, right? But yeah, she's right. Like, it was not, we weren't just going to be like, let's just drop everything and move to Tennessee. What made it even more complicated is that, so I had been, physically ill for a very long time. And I had some surgery scheduled that summer, pretty major surgery. And we thought everything would be okay, though. We're like, okay, well, we can, by the time that we decided that we were going to try to join this launch team, we were just like, okay, I'll recover. It'll be fine. That ended up being like, it was much more stretched out than that. I was in the hospital almost 2 weeks, almost died. It's terrible couple of weeks there, and extended the amount of time it took for us to actually get out here. Mm-hmm. So not expecting that. So that was all. That was an immediate hurdle. We knew it was going to be hard, but we didn't think it would be that hard. And that sounds all dramatic and stuff. I mean, it was difficult, but going into it, I made sure that Trevor and Jeremy both knew, hey, this thing's coming up. It should be fine. We've been planning for it for months. I'll get back on my feet and we'll be out there. So That was the first of a couple things that didn't really go as we expected them to when we first started moving out here. So, and even then, like at the vision meeting, when we kind of looked at each other and said, "Hey, I think this is going to be our thing instead of like your parents' thing." At the end, I'd actually walked up to Trevor. You know, he was done speaking, and I said, "Hey, man, you don't know us. I'm not actually from the church or even the state. I think we're supposed to join this launch team." And he was like, "Okay, let's talk about that."
Yeah.
So it was like 2 weeks later that we went back down there and had lunch with him and Jeremy and talked it over. They sent us the I know at this point now it's just like kind of covenant member information you sign and all that stuff. It was mm-hmm. way more involved for the launch team. And so we had to review it all and talk through it. Within a couple of weeks, we had signed it and we joined on. I think we were like the last people that joined the launch team. We're close to the last. They had already had most of the team already assembled by that point.
I think it's really cool how it wasn't the most convenient time, but you guys still endured and you had a vision and you still felt pulled, like you didn't check it out, and you kind of stuck to your guns. How was it like actually when you made it to the borough? What did that look like trying to settle into a new place?
So when we first got here, we were living with my parents in Spring Hill because we didn't have jobs at first. And that had its own challenges mm-hmm. because we got married in 2007. You know, we were 21 and 22. We had been independent, you know, those, 4 years at the time, almost five. So we had been completely independent, and then moving back in with my parents was really, you know, hard to adapt, being under someone else's house, someone else's rules, someone else's time, you know, and you want to be back, you want to have your own place, you want your independence, and it's really yeah. not up to you because you have to get jobs. And that was a big challenge. So the first few months, we came the very end of September 2011. And so October and November were pretty much spent looking for jobs. And it was the beginning and then middle-ish of December that we both got jobs in Tennessee. And then we're able to start looking for somewhere to move into Murfreesboro. But we were commuting every week on Sundays to come to church and then in Wednesdays to go to community group. And it was just really hard to meet anybody or to spend time with people any other time of the week because mm-hmm. we weren't living here. You know, we were 45 minutes away. So that was really challenging. And I've said before that we, like Matthew and I, felt like, you know, we were like the Israelites and we were like, just send us back to Egypt. Like, send us back to Virginia. Like, it wasn't really good there. Like, it was bad sometimes there. And like, I know that you have something better promised, God. Like, this is just a thing we have to go through, but maybe we should go back to the thing that we knew, like, yeah, instead of.
But Egypt was Lynchburg, Virginia, and I'm really glad we did not go back there. Yeah, so
yeah.
That was
yeah. Now, with our 2020 hindsight, we can see that it was much better to persevere, but it was very challenging. I think we were both really, really lonely, and we felt really isolated, and we felt like we didn't know anybody, and how were we going to get to know anybody? And like, you know, because we weren't even working in jobs yet, we were just sitting looking for jobs. So it's not like we could really meet people anyway. So we felt like we weren't even doing what we had come to do, you know, like meet people and get people to City Church and, if, you know, really disciple and live in community yet. So that was hard.
Yeah, she covered a lot of that ground. I mean, the only thing that I would emphasize, yeah, the job search was really tough. And we weren't the only ones that moved out here that hadn't quite landed jobs yet. That was actually not uncommon.
Yeah.
I think most of the folks that came maybe from North Carolina or the Walkers coming up from Texas were kind of in the middle of that too. But for us, like, we had some interviews lined up, right? It wasn't totally blind, but it was still, you know, you got to remember, like, pretty much those first few years of our marriage, like, that's financial crash. That was right out of college. No one's finding a job. 2011 is kind of the bottom of the dip. And like, now everybody can find a job right now after COVID. It's like, it's blowing up, but it was not that way back then. It was like slim pickets. It was really hard. So, again, it was like, in a way, a good time for us in our life. We were like open and able to go and church plant and, you know, whereas now, you know, with kids and stuff, it'd be really, really difficult to make that same leap. But economically, like sociologically, it was a really dumb time to do it. Very risky.
You used a very good word, Kirsten, perseverance. And just what fruit have you guys seen in your personal lives as a result of that perseverance and sticking in the burrow and just kind of the fruit in your own lives that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, there is such a general application for that, not just that life lesson, like, because that could be, you could apply that to like exercise or any kind of thing, but like spiritually, like actual God stuff, right? It builds you up for a long-term vision, which was the whole reason that we were here, right? And everyone on the launch team, they had, it was a 2-year commitment at minimum, right? Although at the end of the 2 years, everyone stuck out and said, yeah, we're going to keep going, right? Which was, what was awesome. I remember when that moment happened, and Trevor, I know, was really encouraged by that too, right? But anyway, so it builds a, it's not just about building like character, right? Because I know there's the verse in Romans talk about how perseverance builds character, builds hope, right? This was more, you know, 10 years on, right? I'm already excited about like the next 10 years of City Church, right? But being able to stick it out early like that and maintaining like the hope and the vision of what it's going to be.
That's awesome.
That it really builds that, that capacity for long-term, not just like, again, not just like goal setting, like that's just a life thing, but like seeing what God is going to do with this. Mm-hmm. You cannot see it in the future. Like just, it builds faith, right?
Yeah.
Cause that's what faith is, right? It's, you know, believing in things you haven't seen yet, right? It's the already and the not yet. There was a lot of not yet at the beginning. but it helps you to, you know, because the big picture, right? You know, resurrection, that's a big giant not yet. And, you know, we affirm that every Sunday morning. We do the Apostles' Creed, like, believe in the resurrection body, you know, life after death. Like, that's you know, the being able to hold on and persevere in that short term in the grand scheme of things, like building this church from the start, really helps you to keep in mind the big giant thing, which is like the, you know, redemption of the world in Christ and seeing people come to faith, and like, because that's hard work too, and that's long-term stuff too, so it really feeds into it, I think.
Yeah,
we were able to buy our house in Murfreesboro in the beginning of 2012, so like Matthew was saying, that was like a bottom in the market. Like almost everything we looked at was like short sales and foreclosures, and houses in Murfreesboro were just like being given away at that time, which is so opposite of what it's bonkers what's happening now compared to then. I mean, houses were just languishing and they were like under $100,000. But anyway, we were able to buy our house, and I felt like that was the beginning of when I felt like we could really become involved in the community and start doing things because we were here. Like, okay, this is the start. You know, we're here, we both have jobs, you know, let's get this rolling. And then a host of other things happened in 2012 that were crazy. I got pregnant with our oldest son. And then when I was like 8 weeks along, I lost my job and had to get a new job for the rest of my pregnancy. And it was just insane. And, you know, we had the church because that was the only people we knew. Like, especially when I lost that job, it's okay. The coworkers that I thought maybe were my friends, I don't have them anymore. And the church, you know, was the family we chose. It was the people around us who we said, okay, like, we're going to do life in community. Like, now we got to do it. Yeah. And this is like a hard thing and we can't do this. You know, these are the people who we said we're going to endure with, the people who we said, you know, you're the people God has put in our path, and we're going to do this, and we're going to grow together, and we're going to fight together, and we're going to suffer together sometimes, but this is it. This is what we said we're going to do, and we're going to see it to the end.
You mentioned, you know, at the top that one thing that we've done, and it's been a good chunk of the last 10 years, is helping out with kids. And so it takes a lot of perseverance to have a vision for kids to go from, you know, just kind of hearing Bible stories, right, to like they will actually come to follow Jesus and believe and get saved, right? I have seen them go from like barely paying attention to like they're following Jesus, like, and it takes years, right? Mm-hmm. So sticking that out, again, that lesson of perseverance kind of feeds in, but the ultimate goal is still like, you know, making disciples, right? That's the whole reason that we came.
Being able to lose your job, you know, or have a kid and fall back on the church and to see that and to believe in that. And then moving forward, seeing the unknowns of how things were going to go and then watching God provide and seeing people and even watching kids, you know, like just build in their faith. I think that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing on your own story. I am curious, since you've kind of had the overhead view of the church since its beginning, how have you seen God move in the ministry and its people?
So I think that one thing that I appreciate about City Church is that I don't think that our vision has changed from the beginning, which is good. I don't feel like what I heard at that first vision meeting compared to what happened when we got here compared to now 10 years later, mm-hmm. I feel like it still tracks really well, which is great because we were moving very, very far to come here. And it would have been a real disappointment if everything hadn't been what we, you know, and everything wasn't 100% what we expected for sure. But the main things about the church that we expected were true, that we are an outward-facing church, that we are interested in investing in Murfreesboro, that we are interested in our children and not just giving them entertainment or not just being a babysitter, but really giving them a solid background, that when they move from city kids into the youth and then into the adult, you know, sermons, that they will have the same background. They'll be learning the same information at whatever level they're capable of understanding, and that that can go with them for a lifetime instead of treating them like they aren't capable of understanding, you know. So those are some things that I really appreciate that this church has been doing the whole time. And I think that we've just continued to build upon that by making more opportunities for people to learn and grow, you know, always supporting community groups and always encouraging people to do community groups. And in the summer, having different kinds of classes and groups that people can do, you know, throughout the year, having different conferences or having different trainings always available, that when there are places that you want to learn and grow, you can. And also that Trevor and Jeremy are always very open to people coming to them and saying, hey, I have this idea. And they will say, great, roll with that. And
that's great.
They will support people in, you know, pursuing things like working at Bradley, you know, and different things that we've been able to do, like when we partnered with other churches to do Vacation Bible School. So it's really good that we have continued to be a church that looks for opportunities to serve instead of just making ourselves, you know, fancier or better or bigger.
I had a little time to think about my answer, right? I let her go first. So the world has changed a lot in the last 10 years. Right?
What makes you say that?
I'm not just talking like, you know, country politics, right? You know, the leaders change, leaders come and go, right? I'm thinking more about even like the industry of church planting in a way has changed a lot, right? There have been a lot of ministry failures, very high profile things that have happened. There've been a lot of you know, things that have grown and changed. The point I'm making there is that I think the thing that we set out to do, the thing that Trevor Atwood casted, that vision in that very first meeting that I sat down with, when the both of us looked at each other and went, this is for us, we're still doing that. You know, yes, I think it's been refined a little bit, right? And, you know, you mentioned like we kind of have a bird's eye view of it, we can see overall. Well, like, I've known Trevor and Jeremy for 10 years. So like, that's a very cool place to be because I've watched them grow too, right?
You've seen the evolution.
I have, yeah. And I mean, the good stuff that they set out to do in the beginning, we're still doing it. Like raising people up to, not just to believe the gospel, but to make disciples and send them out, right? We're not just looking to keep them in the seats. We're looking to send them so that other churches could start, right? Mm-hmm. That's still in the DNA of our church. I even incorporate that when I'm thinking about the kids, right? Because they'll probably not stick around Murfreesboro. They're going to move out. They're going to strike out on their own to the world, and we want them to do the same, right? So it's not just like, at first it was college students, right? And that's a big element of it still, right? We did that, started that 10 years ago. We're still doing it now. It's still a big chunk of it, right? So, and it's not just consistency though. It's like we're able to evolve, adapt, learn and grow, right? We were always, and again, something that Trevor really emphasized in that very first vision meeting, it's still true here, is diversity, right? We wanted to be a diverse church. We wanted to be a church that had more people that were new to Christianity than like, you know, kind of stale and old. Like we wanted to have more friends that didn't know Jesus than did, so we could bring them in. That's still our thing, right? Yeah. As the tides have turned and society has, you know, shifted a lot in the last few years, and diversity has really come front and center, right? Mm-hmm. That's always been something that was important to us. And so we already had our hearts and minds right to focus on that and really make it important when it comes to the gospel. And, you know, I'm very proud that we've really been all about that the whole time. And now it's kind of come full circle, right? This next evolution, you know, the land that we've got and, you know, the vision for the building that's coming up, right? It's all gonna click. And it's a beautiful thing to watch God do all that stuff, especially being from like the beginning when we're in the Walnut House and we've got, you know, 30 people in there to now.
Man, I didn't even think about moving forward and, how things are going to look then, but I just wanted to thank you guys for coming in and sharing all that in your journey with City. I appreciate it. I think your people definitely appreciate it. And thank you once again.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I would personally like to thank our listeners for listening to this week's podcast. And hopefully we will be able to catch you next week as we continue in our Celebration Stories series. City Church, go and multiply the gospel.